Well, once again, we're going to begin right into that message. I hope that you have signed up with a life group and that you're making every due diligence with announcements and with notes. And you'll see even on our announcements with regards to what's going on. Next Sunday, we're going to have water baptism. Already, many of you have shown an interest in being water baptized. I'll meet with you after service. I'll remind you of that. But let's get into the message. And by way of getting into the message, was Jake too cute to try to resemble me? Come on, Jake. Just be yourself, Jake. Anyway, I don't want pressure. Nobody, can you imagine competition? He was so good. Anyway, I heard a cute story because of the Ritters and their parrot, that this parrot was really inexpensive at the pet store. And the woman went up and said, "Why is this parrot so inexpensive?" He said, "Well, it keeps getting returned back to me because the parrot has a foul mouth, gets wordy, and gets disgusting in its conversation." The woman said, "I'll take it home. I'll nurse it to health." So she bought it, talked the bird right into the car, and all of a sudden, instantly, the bird's saying, "I hate you. You're ugly. You disgust me. Leave me alone." She said, "Well, I'll work this bird." And so after 2 weeks, constant, "I hate you. You're ugly. You disgust me." The woman could take it no longer, took the bird into the kitchen, opened the door to the freezer, put the bird in the freezer, shut the door, and she could still say, "I hate you. Leave me alone." Went on, and all of a sudden, silence. She said, "I killed the bird. I killed the bird." She opened up the bird door. There it is in the freezer. The bird's eyes were wide open. Bird says, "Can I come out?" She goes, "Yeah." She goes, "I won't say a thing the bird said anymore." "Okay. Can I ask one last question?" "Okay. What did the chicken do?" One last one. Thief breaks into the house, goes in the middle of the night, right in the kitchen. He hears this word, "I see you," and Jesus sees you. And he goes, "What?" He looks around. He hears it again. "I see you," and Jesus sees you. Turns on his flashlight, and there's a parrot in the cage. And then he looks down, and there's this Doberman Pinscher with shiny white teeth. And the parrot says, "Sick 'em, Jesus." All right, for all you bird lovers. Hey, we are right into part five of really what it is, as we take a look, good habits of giving Christ more in 2024. We want to be able to do just that. Many of you are so generous, so consistent, so giving in your time and your talent, your treasures. We're so grateful for that. And so there are things with which we'd want to say, well, how could we give more? Or some of us need to step in a little bit more because there's so much more for us to enjoy as we follow Jesus. So today, the message is the good habit of worship. The good habit of worship. We're taking a look at that. You say, well, how is worship a part of giving more to Jesus? Well, if you're going to really enjoy your time with the Lord, worship is a big deal for followers of Jesus. It's going to be important for us. Matter of fact, it's all about Jesus. And if you've been with us in your annual Bible reading, you'll even see that today is in Exodus chapter 19 and 20. And it's in Exodus 19 that God says to Moses, "I'm going to make your entire nation a kingdom of priests, a holy nation." Man, you're going to bring in those wonderful spiritual sacrifices. And the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 and through 9, he says, hey, don't forget, because of Jesus, you now are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you are to proclaim him who have brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Wow, that's New Testament material. So we really are priests. A prophet brings a message from God to the people. A priest brings praise from the people to God. And that's what you and I get a privilege of doing. You can bring your own sacrifice of praise to God, Or maybe you're the only believer in your family. You are the only one that's sanctifying the entire family, 1 Corinthians 7 says. Because of that believing spouse, the whole family, even the kids, are sanctified, set apart as holy. Hang in there. Be the priest. Be that one that brings holiness. It's very important. You are that one that is consecrated by God. But when we take a look at worship, and it's interesting because people will consider that conversation about worship has been going on for about 2,000 years. Jesus met a woman at the well, and that conversation came up. The woman was wanting to know, why is it so important we go to Jerusalem to worship? Why is it so important to have that location or the format of worship? And Jesus literally just said, hey, this is what it's all about with regards to worship. So Jesus brings in a specific area that I think is important to us. If you can catch it, then it's going to really help you in your relationship and walk with the Lord. His response helps us understand something. And now let's begin. In Jesus' name, we open our hearts. As you open the word to us, Lord, we pray. Amen. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Jesus says this, but the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, for God is spirit, and so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So you look at that passage there, Jesus' response doesn't really answer all our questions, does it for me? But there's one thing you want to take note of that's very important, that God desires people to worship him. I catch that. And if God desires people to worship him, then it's important for us to say, this should be a part of my life too. This should be a significant, something very defining that's here. So what is worship all about? Let's take a look on your notes now as we begin our first point. What is worship? What is worship? Because it's very difficult to describe worship in a word. And Webster's definition uses one word. Here it is. There are many words they try to describe worship, like adore, idolize, esteem worthy, reverence, homage, goes on and on and on. All words. I don't know if any one of those words can truly bring it about. I think worship has much more to do than saying, oh, that's what they're doing. So let's lay it out for you and me, because if our Father is looking for people that will worship him, then I'd like to line that up and say, well, Lord, man, let's let that at least be a part of my life, maybe even more so. And so you can see letter A, worship is loving God. Worship is loving God. I'm laying that out there for you. If you say, I'm going to get into worship, it's going to be a part of that. We worship what we love. It's really what, if you want to see what people are all into, check out what they have in their home. Check out what's in their garage. Check out what they're spending their money on. Check it out. You'll find out we worship what we love. And so when you look here, we see in Mark chapter 12, verse 20, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. So apparently, we're going to say something, worship is a very comprehensive experience. It is a full-on body experience when it really comes down to that. It really is. Worship the Lord. We love the Lord. So in dealing with that, and one, the simplest habits of really worshiping God is just simply this, friends. Tell him, I love you, Lord. I love you. That is an important expression. If that's not a part of your vocabulary, do you tell those people in your family, hey, before you go, I love you? Do you tell your spouse that? How about your children, your grandkids? Is that something that's a pattern in your life? I love you. That's important for us to consider doing that in our relationship to God, to worship him. I'll tell you something. If you tell God in your quiet time, Lord, I love you, and you're quiet enough, hold back your thoughts, you'll hear him in the quietness of your heart saying, I love you too, son. I love you, my daughter. You'll hear him say that. It's very real. Give it a try. Try to quiet your heart. Letter B, worship is conversation with God. So not only is it love, but we found that worship is conversation. And in dealing with that, it really is highly intimate. Worship's really personal. People say, oh, I just worship God my own way. It's very personal. It really is. But if you're going to see what it is about, here's some examples of people who are worshiping God in an intimate way because they're talking to God. Oftentimes, it comes across like a prayer. I'm in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5. See how this expression comes about. May your glorious name be praised. May it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the skies and the heavens and all the stars. You made the earth and the seas and everything in them. And you preserved them all. And the angels of heaven worship you. Now that's very intimate. You hear somebody describe that conversation. That's our point. Worship's conversation. Lord, I want to tell you what you mean to me. I want to tell you what I know about you, and I want to tell you about that. That's powerful. That is private, but that's what worship's all about when it comes right down to that. Here's another one if you were to take a look at Psalm 48, verse 9. It says, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love as we worship in your temple. So when we take a look here, the focus is on God when we worship him. That's important. Many times, as you and I pray, it's usually about asking about something, is it not? I'm praying now. God, what are we asking for? What do you need? What would you like us to pray for you about? But how about worship when we focus on God, who he is, his greatness, his power, his efficiency, his all-sufficiency, his love, those things about God? Wow, that's pretty powerful. When was the last time we had a chance to do that? Have you ever thanked God for your salvation? Have you ever thanked God for the way he's forgiven you and me? Many, many times. Have you ever considered how gracious he actually has been to you? Or maybe pause and say, Lord, I want to just thank you. I know I am going to heaven one day, and I want to thank you for that. When I see or sense or do funerals, Lord, I want to thank you. I know you know my departure date from this, but I want you to know something. By the way, I think we're very close to the return of Christ with the rapturing of the church. So be prepared. Be prepared. Always keep that on your note. Lord, I want to thank you that I'm prepared for the rapture. I am the five wise virgins who have the oil in my lamp. I can hardly wait. I love your appearing. Just think about that one. That's worthy of worship, and it's important for us to consider. So, thanking the Lord. How about letter C on your notes? Worship is following God. So, we're taking a look. How do we describe worship in a word? I'm saying it really is more of an expression or an action, but following God. What we worship is who and what we will follow. Really is. You really think about that. Who is the person that really matters in your life? What is the person that really dictates what they want and how are you going to go about getting it for the afternoon meal kind of a thing? It's like, wow, those people that we worship are the ones we really follow. So worship goes beyond words and feelings. It really is, I'm going to follow that person or thing or subject that I really worship. I'm going to follow. And that's what worship's all about. We know that's true in Romans chapter 12 about making sure that we are a living sacrifice. But that's important. Most important in our relationship about worship is that we're following Christ. So take a look here in John chapter 14, verse 15. It says, if you love me, obey my commands. That's pretty much it. Follow me. I'm going to give you some directions. Make sure you include that. That's a part of worship. It's a part of what we do. Worship is following God. Lord, I love you enough. I'm just going to follow you. I'm going to trust you whatever you're saying. You are my number one. Man, there is nothing more important in this life for you than your relationship with Jesus. Nothing more important. Everything else maintains a circumference around that one indication. And when we don't really engage God, it's still kind, isn't he? He's still kind. Bible says he's good and he's just to the evil and to the good people. But there'll come a day. But in the meantime, you and I get a chance to say, man, I love the Lord. I think that's why, and you're in Bible reading today with us, the annual Bible reader. Remember, Exodus chapter 20 contains the Ten Commandments. 10 simple rules for civility on planet Earth. 10 simple. Number 4, right there, verse 5, is keep the Sabbath holy. Keep the Sabbath holy. Why is that? And good job, everybody. Good job. Because we remember who God is on a Sabbath like this. We remember who we are. That's the importance of keeping the Sabbath a day focused on God. Well, do you really think about who you are and who you represent on this planet? Boy, Sundays help us. It should help us. I hope everybody that comes into Hope Chapel or is watching, when we're done, you say, man, I feel closer to Jesus than I did when I turned on the television or my computer screen or came in here. That's important. That's why that one commandment, keep the Sabbath, keep it holy, lock it in there, because you're going to forget your way and you're going to forget who I am if we don't. So it's going to be important. Worship is following God. That's important. Well, let's take a look here as we deal with that. How about music? Has music being involved? Music is expressive. Does worship require music? Well, I think it helps. Doesn't necessarily need. I didn't even bring it up. I just want to add, because people are going to say, well, what about music? There are some new generations of Christians that feel that worship requires music. I can't really worship unless I hear a happy tune going on. And that's good. People have a specific venue in that. Music helps us, I find, in our collective worship. That means we're all together and we're worshiping in the same direction. That's the beauty I find of worship. We're all expressing the same toward God. We're all talking to the Lord in the same vocabulary. It's pretty exciting to be able to see that. And it's important for us to allow our children to see you big grown-up Christians worship the Lord. That's why we'll have them in for the first two songs of our services. It's important that our children, that our grandchildren, see us collectively singing and worshiping the Lord. It's important for them to see that. It's important for you to see people across the aisle worshiping the Lord. So it's important and it's intentional when we, and you might say, well, you know, I don't really like to sing. I don't really even like the music. I would just encourage a person like that. Then look at the lyrics, look at the words, and identify what those words are trying to express. And let that be a journey for you in your worship to the Lord. So don't let a particular style throw you off. But the words, the lyrics are really, really good. Let's just take a moment here as we go to point number 2. Let's try and just make your seat, even at home, a point of worship. Will you just close your eyes for a moment? Let's just, you, as we talked about, that worship really is loving God. It's conversation with God. And it's willing obedience. But let's just, you tell him that you thank him for your salvation or anything like that. Or Lord, you're just worthy to follow. You're merciful to me. Man, the many times you've had to forgive me. Or the assurance of heaven. Just want to pause and thank you. Amen. In Jesus' name. Number 2, praise. What is praise? So the word praise is often associated with the word worship. Those two are often together in Scripture. The word praise is used 186 times in the book of Psalms. So praise is a big deal. What's the difference between praise and worship? Well, praise, as you hear that word, literally is describing the appreciation for somebody or something. Letter A, praise means to sing, to tell of, to give, or to confess. I want to praise that person. I want to commend that person. I want to lavish that person with praise. Boy, that is praise, and that's what it's all about. If you take a look with me at Psalm 138, verse 2, I bow before your holy temple as I worship. I praise your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness, for your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. So when we take a look at that, that person is really thankful for God's blessings and declare the good news of the Lord. Let's take a look at letter B on your notes. Praise is an outward expression. You can often tell when a person is praising the Lord. It should be very obvious when a person's praising. Worship, maybe not so much. Maybe not so much. Because they're in there, they're focusing on the Lord. It's a very conversational, intimate thing. But praise is very vocal. Praise is out there. It is like somebody on the podium after winning it all in the public arena, and they want to thank the Lord for turning their life around. That is praise to God. That's what it's all about. You can tell when a person is praising God. But a person that's going silent, that's not praising God. So praise is definitely different. Let's look here at Psalm 22, verse 22. I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. I'm going to let her rip. Everybody's going to know I'm out there praising God. How is that? I can see you. I can hear what you're saying. They are expressing praise to the Lord. It's not just to God, but they're telling others how good God is. Man, that's praise. And if you can enjoy and encourage yourself to give Christ more in 2024, I'm telling you, you're going to see some outstanding experiences when you praise. It's outward. It's expressions. People can tell when you are. Here's another example in Psalm 52, verse 9. I will praise you forever, O God, for what you have done. I will trust in your good name in the presence of your faithful people. Man, that's pretty powerful. And that's fun. And you cannot really praise God properly, proclaiming it, without people around you. You could do that and enjoy that and say, well, that's the way I am. I'm kind of a private person. But real praise is really quite a broadcast, because you are promoting, proclaiming, declaring something wonderful about God. And people hear that. People understand that, and they enjoy that. So it's vertically. Praise is also horizontally. It really is. That's what praise is all about. And we hear people praise their favorite athlete, right, or their favorite sport. Hey, there's some people that are really into NASCAR or football or basketball, soccer. Really got some great athletes in surfing. And they describe that. They're out there and they talk about that. So it's important. They're praising something that they're really following and a tribute. How about Jesus? Man, isn't it exciting? So write these down. These are going to benefit you on question number 3 on your life group questions. How do you go about doing that? I would just say choose it daily. Use the word it for praise and worship. Choose it daily. Just make a choice that you're going to fit in praising God somewhere in your day. And that's where that sacrifice of praise comes in. Well, I don't feel like it. Man, I'm just going to choose to do that. It's going to be important for you. Another one, choose it collectively. That's another word, choose it collectively. What does that mean? Well, that's where you get with others on a Sunday. I'm going to gather with others, and I want to praise God with somebody else. Choose it. Choose the conversation. That's another line I want to add. Choose the conversation. Speak to God and allow God to speak to you when you praise him. Put a pause on that. If you know our half an hour with God in prayer, you will see that there is a praise. Then the next 5 minutes is silent, soul searching. That's my favorite part. It's when I let God speak to me. So choose the conversation. I'm going to praise, and I'm now going to let God speak to me. And then the fourth element is allow God to fill you. Allow God to fill you. Boy, I'm coming to the Lord because I feel like I'm dry and dilapidated. I don't have enough energy to blow the fuzz off a peanut. I need something from God today. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Well, what is that? I'll listen to praise music. Man, why don't you just light up the night? You praise God and let God fill you. He will. He'll fill you. God pours into us. God meets us. He's here now. He is here now, and he wants to heal you. He will bring something down upon you to bring encouragement to you. He's here, and he wants to bring an area of great expression to you. Let's do that. Let's take a moment here. Let's just fold our Bibles to the side. Let's stand and just vocalize, not silently. Let's lift up praise to the Lord just for a moment. Let's just praise God. Let's watch what the Lord's going to do. Would you join me? Lord, we bless your name. We honor you. And we just want to tell you how great you are and how lovely and true you are to us. You're here. And we want to tell you we love you. We want to thank you, Lord, and give you the sacrifice of praise. How beautiful you are. How lovely and true are the ways of the Lord to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Number three, what is appropriate worship? Well, there's just some things that people will say that, how is that? We know it's a command to love God, and I believe worship is a very comprehensive experience. It's an all-in, and it's pretty exciting. Letter A, all different types of instruments are appropriate. You take a look here with me for a moment. Psalm 150, there's just six verses there, but it says this: praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heaven, praise him for his mighty works, praise his unequaled greatness, praise him with a blast of the ram's horn, praise him with the lyre and the harp, praise him with the tambourine and dancing, praise him with strings and flutes, praise him with a clash of cymbals, praise him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that has breath sing praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, it's important when we take a look at that, how important. Very comprehensive, very engaging. We take a look at that. Letter B, being loud is sometimes appropriate. That's what we're seeing here. Being loud is sometimes appropriate. It's important we get a chance to be loud. We probably ought to provide earplugs in the back sometimes, just so if you say, oh, the music's so loud. Somebody says, well, we're sitting back, it's kind of loud. Man, let's get you up front and get you where the glory spout is up front here. And we'll get you some earplugs. How fun is that? But let's check it out here. Psalm 95, verse 1 says, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. Isn't that great? Shouts of praise to him. That could become pretty noisy, pretty loud. And I love that. It's great. When Ainsley and I were in Uganda, I'm telling you, they are unique in their worship. And it's loud, and it looks confusing, and it's chaotic, but it sure looks joyful. And they're so happy. There's an element, they should be, you look at their neighborhood, it's very depressive. But man, praise takes them to a whole nother arena. Glory to God. And finally, letter C, raising of hands is appropriate. Raising of hands. We take a look here, I like Psalm 63, and it says, I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. Well, people say, well, what's that to do with raising of hands? Why do people do that? I think number of ways, really three. One is, it's a point of surrender. Lord, I surrender. Also, according to Scripture, raising of hands is a point of agreement. It's a point of agreement. Lord, I agree what you're saying. And it represents that. And then there's also that area of raising hands where a person is expressing faith and victory. Man, I declare what Scripture says about God is true, and I'm going to stand in victory. Glory to God. Glory to God. So raising hands biblically is very, very important. So let's practice that, shall we? Man, and however people want to worship the Lord, We just know this, God's looking for people to worship him in spirit and truth. That old phrase, you be you, you be you. But God wants us to be true. So let's stand to our feet, shall we, right now? We're going to welcome our worship team. One last song, and we're going to enjoy a great time together. Here we go. We're going for it. All right, everybody at your feet, praise the name of the Lord. Let's just lift up praise now. Would you just join me? Lord, we exalt you. We praise your mighty name. How true and faithful you are. How great is our Redeemer. We thank you, Lord. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.